You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Every once in a while, you hear about something that's going to change in the tech world. And I think Craig's really good about going, I'm sorry, what? What's happening now? Why are you doing that? Why?
Let's not do that. That's messed stuff up.
Yes. And Craig forwarded this article to me about how your internet charges at home may be related directly to how much you use the internet, whether it's a video, like let's say you're watching Netflix. Well, here's the thing, since neither one of us want to try to delve into the craziness
of that. It's a lot like your cell phone. You know how you pay for data on your cell phone? Apparently, they want to do that to us at our house.
Well, Dan Fedora is a technology expert and director of sales at Nauto Smart Cameras. Dan, what do they want to do? What's happening?
It's the kids, Patty. It's all about the kids.
It's their fault?
By kids, I mean millennials. So, what is happening, you heard of people cutting the cord, yes?
Yes. Get rid of your cable. So, get rid of your satellite. Just go all Netflix, yeah. Hulu, Amazon. Right.
Right. And I'm of an age where we're kind of the opposite of that. We have basically every medium coming into our house that you can imagine.
Right.
Satellite TV, mm-hmm. HBO, Netflix. But were I younger when this was available, I think I would also be a cord cutter where people are watching TV or movies, et cetera, simply by connecting their mobile phone or tablet to their TV monitor using something like Apple TV or Google Chromecast.
Or Roku. I like my Roku.
Or Roku, yeah. Mm-hmm. Any of the streaming services that you've heard about where you're just all you need in your home is an internet connection. And in some cases, you don't even need that. If you just have a mobile phone,
right,
you could use something like Google Chromecast to watch movies, shows, Hulu, et cetera. So as more and more households are doing that, what's happening is that the cable companies are making – it's a kind of a combined effort. They're trying to hang on to their cable box paying customers. So I noticed that in this story, if you – have your internet service through AT&T, but you also have DirecTV, which they now own, or Uverse TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very bad for us. The more they consolidate, the worse things get. You'll see, like right now, all the mobile phone providers are still so competitive, and that's very good for us. But as the cable companies begin to consolidate, it gets a little more dicey for the average consumer. So if you have your TV service still, you're not going to have to worry about these caps on your gigabyte usage at home. Most of this wouldn't affect your average user. But as people begin to stream in higher and higher definition, they're talking about now 4K definition, which is probably beyond what the human eye can see normally.
Right.
It is possible that you'll begin to creep up over 300 gigabytes per month simply streaming shows at that high of video quality on your television from just your internet service provider. And that's the target that they're trying to capture revenue on.
That's so fascinating that you say that 4K is something we really can't even acknowledge as humans, because I've heard that about a lot of what is the rate that we can see, and when is it just for the sake of us saying that we get to watch something cool?
I wish I knew the specific answer to that, but I think everyone has kind of noticed this. When you look at some of these TVs that are playing, like at the Costco, when you walk in and you're watching the movie, it does seem like you're watching like one of those old live soap operas in real time. You know, it just doesn't seem like a movie anymore. It just it seems like you're on stage with the actors, which again is what everyone has been driving towards, but it doesn't immediately appeal to the eye. But again, what do I know? I'm not, I'm pushing 50 now, and so I don't know what the kids like, but that is where we're going, and it's just so crystal clear. It's like you're there in real life. So I don't know what the limit the human eye is, but it's kind of like sunscreen, right? You don't need, SPF 100 to be protected.
No, indeed. It's at some point, you're like, when is more just more?
Yeah, that's kind of the direction things are going. But 4K is the next step. where people are going, what the companies are going to, and again, combine that with, you know, people streaming all of their shows into their home, and that's where the data begins to increase. And, you know, the United States actually does not have the best broadband internet capability in the world. There are many countries that are better than us at their infrastructure for their internet connections, South Korea being one of the best, Japan, I believe. And a lot of these countries that kind of went straight from no phones to mobile phones are actually ahead of us in their infrastructure for their internet. So we have some catching up to do, and that's part of the reason why some of these companies are maybe concerned about the amount of data they'll be streaming.
Well, and I think what it seems to me is that a lot of companies are trying to figure out how to recapture dollars that went out the door years ago.
Right.
They're still catching up to that.
Right, because again... Mm-hmm. Right, as you said, I mean, some of us couldn't really live necessarily without live, you know, news available, et cetera. But more and more, the trend is to cut the cord, and that's a huge part of the revenue. I mean, anyone who has, you know, all the cable companies do buy for your business, but at the end of the day, your average bill for, you know, a full suite of cable services is somewhere between $150 and $200 per household.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting that you guys say that they're trying to recapture dollars that went out the door, because something I read in all this is that if you do get a TV package along with your internet from AT&T or Comcast, mm-hmm. you won't get capped. So they actually won't cap you as long as you still get the TV service or the phone service or something. So they're trying to kind of fight back against the cord cutters.
Right. And go ahead, because I haven't cut the cord. Here's how long I've had a DVR. I bought a TiVo when you could still get lifetime service with DirecTV. Do you remember that?
There were guys in Lincoln Park who, back in the mid-90s, you know, you could bring your TiVo to them and they would hack it so that you could have, like, additional memory onto it. It was a whole, like, business. And we loved our TiVo. I wish I could have one back. They still exist, but you end up typically getting the box that comes with your provider.
Yeah, the boop 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 was always. I can't do the sound correctly.
Yeah.
It was
right.
It was very cheerful.
It was cathartic.
It really was. Well, you felt like you were making progress forward, backward, all that stuff. Now, how does this is there any sense that the companies like the live streaming companies, will this have any effect on them? And, you know, I'm guessing people are still going to subscribe. It doesn't really make any difference as far as that's concerned, does it?
Yeah. No, I think as long as they're, you know, you're continuing to subscribe, whether it be Hulu or Netflix and now in Amazon, you know, now all these companies are creating their own original content. In fact, right before your show, we went from watching, I don't know, I think I was watching MSNBC or something on Bravo. Mm-hmm. And my wife said, well, how about a Mindy episode? The Mindy Kaling show is now purely a Hulu production. So we watched that show by me connecting my mobile phone to the TV's Chromecast, but using my in-home Wi-Fi provided by AT&T through my direct the TV satellite, which is now owned by AT&T. So I think I'm covered, as Craig said, underneath the grandfather clause. I still have my TV through an AT&T owned company. But
yeah, you're fine.
If not, then I would be the example of who they might want to kneecap, so to speak.
Yeah. Get those dollars from you. Yeah, you're not cutting. Yeah. You want go ahead and cut the cord. It's going to cost you. This all seems very dark alley.
You're hurting you if you go over your data limit.
Dan, off topic real quick. Can you tell us a little bit about the company you work for and what they do? You guys are putting stuff in cars or something, some sort of cameras, making things safe. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure many of your listeners and some of your listeners may even drive a cab. But if you ever take a cab in Chicago, look at the rearview mirror. And you will see typically a camera at the rearview mirror. It mm-hmm. won't look like a normal camera, but it's like a little black box. About 95% of the cabs in Chicago are required to have them. I used to sell those cameras specifically, but now I'm working for a startup out of Palo Alto, California. I'm still based here in Chicago. What we're going to be doing to those types of cameras is we're going to be incorporating artificial intelligence into them. So literally, the camera now can act as a virtual co-pilot inside the vehicle and eventually be able to do things like warn the driver of hazards both inside and outside of the vehicle, such as distracted driving inside the vehicle and, you know, collision avoidance outside the vehicle. So kind of a retrofit autonomous capability for those of us driving, you know, non-Tesla or Audi 2017 vehicles.
Well, okay, so I was driving a large Chevy kind of conversion van that had no back. I couldn't see behind me at all. I only could use my side view mirrors. And here's the thing about using, whether it would have been technology or the mirrors, there comes a point where it's still, it's eye-hand coordination. You know, sort of being able to line up and try to figure out how much space you have. There's depth perception. With artificial intelligence, I mean, like, when do we get to the point where you can kind of give yourself over to the technology? Because I don't think I'm going to be there. I really don't.
It exists. Well, you know, it's a broad term, but it exists now. So, you know, there are a lot of cars that, you know, for a few years now, there are cars that will park themselves. If you push a button, it can parallel park itself. I have not tried this,
right?
But that it does exist.
You got to give over to it, though. You got to have a lot of confidence and faith in that technology.
Yeah. Well, there are the humorous YouTube postings of the Tesla owners who, you know, because the Tesla will drive itself down the expressway, but they do not want you leaving the driver's seat.
Right.
Like there's an individual on you. I think it's on YouTube. A guy got out of his driver's seat and went back in the back seat and had like a Coke while he was driving down the 405.
Yeah.
So
that's
great. But there's literally a Simpsons episode. I didn't watch that many Simpsons episodes, but one that sticks in my head is Bart and his friends steal the car and they drive to a state fair, a World's Fair, that was over for, you know, 30 years. But on their way, he put it in cruise control and hopped in the back seat with Milhouse. and said, no, don't worry, it's on cruise control. Yet, ironically, you know, that has come to pass where we're getting to that point where literally cruise control will mean. And there are things like automatic cruise control. So for like trucks, the cruise control will disengage automatically based on what's happening outside the vehicle. So, yes, these things are creeping into our everyday lives. Slowly but surely.
See,
so once your car is 2012 or higher, you're going to have some of these features.
Well, but the thing is, like, I worry about people who can hack into anything these days. I don't want someone taking over control of my car.
Yeah, it's one of those things where that does sound really dangerous, and there are some fleeting examples. There was an example of some guy who claimed to have hacked into an airliner at one point, but I'm not saying don't worry about it. But it's just one of those situations where I suppose it is probably inevitable that at some point it will happen. But we're still some years away before literally we'll be simply getting into the backseat of a vehicle that's driving itself around Chicago.
All right. Good. I would need some time to adjust and get used to it.
Yeah, you have time. You have some time.
We are talking to Dan Fedora, who is a technology expert and director of sales at Nauto Smart Cameras. Dan, we want to talk to you a little bit about something that you were involved with that kind of took off later. And do you mind hanging on through the news? Do you mind, Craig? Is that a good way of putting it? Is that a tease?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Dan Fedora is hanging out with pretty late. He's being generous with his time, and we appreciate that. More after this on 720. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And joining us on the line is technology expert and director of sales at Nauto Smart Cameras, Dan Fedora. Dan, full disclosure on this next conversation we're about to have. My father was a cab driver for 50 years, and I've gone back and forth on how things have changed all over the country and now all over the world. But I have to believe that he would have evolved. He would have moved. Like, my father passed away after 50 years of driving a cab. He passed away in 2001. And I think that he would have actually liked the idea of keeping up with the times and finding ways that were both easier for cabbies and for passengers. You were involved in something that pretty much was ahead of the curve. Can you tell me about taxi share?
Yeah, that's how I got into what I'm doing now. I was a lawyer by trade after getting out of the service in 1993. I went to law school, and I moved into the city as a lawyer in 96. And I've always been a bit of an inventor, if you will. And so I recalled living in Lincoln Park and needing to get downtown at 8 o'clock in the morning on any weekday. Was always a challenge to hail a cab. But I did notice that every cab going by me with one person in it would be obviously heading downtown. I mean, that's basically where everybody was going at 8 o'clock on a Friday morning or whatever. And so I began to experiment, and I would pick people up who were trying to hail a cab in vain when I was lucky enough to get a cab.
So you would tell the cab driver, hey, grab that passenger. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I literally can add my wife to the benefits from sharing my cab. Because in 98, my wife and I had gone out on one date. She went away for a couple of weeks on a trip, and she came back. I ran into her outside. These three city workers were running circles around themselves trying to hail her a cab. And they finally got her one, and I'll never forget the look on the guy's face as he opened the door for my wife, and I slipped in right next to her. the short version is that no one ever turned me down because again, it was just so hard to get a cab at that time. And I would do the same thing to Cubs games, et cetera. So this is 1998. This is pre-smartphone. And I actually approached the city in 98, and they thought I was completely nuts, but I had a system where you would hold a coaster, a color-coded coaster, blue for downtown and red for O'Hare or vice versa. I can't remember which one was which. But if someone was holding that coaster on the corner and you were in the cab, you'd say, oh, that person's going downtown, and I'll pull over and pick them up, and and most everyone has shared a cab at some point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was how the idea was born. And it didn't get much further past that until 2000. I put it on the shelf. I had a full-time job. I went forward, didn't quite catch. But then in 2009, apps became more popular, and I was hearing about some efforts in New York to get people to share cabs, and that inspired me to find someone in the city who could build the app for me, and we created Taxi Share Chicago. And it would do the exact same thing but via smartphone. It would allow you to see other people going to the same general destination that you were, downtown, Wrigley Field, Soldier Field, Midway, et cetera. And you could then tap on their icon, chat with them, and agree to share a cab, to a general destination. And while it didn't take off like you would want an app to take off, it introduced me to a whole new industry. And I ended up taking a job with a more sophisticated application company at the time called Taxi Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Taxi Magic was so old, we were on BlackBerry.
Oh.
And Taxi Magic, it predated Uber, and it was a way to hail a cab with your smartphone.
Right.
But what happened, your dad would have understood this. What happened with Uber, and that's how, that's how I've stayed in this career to date. But what happened with Uber is, Uber figured out that it was easier to do what we call go direct to the driver. In other words, skip the dispatch system and simply text, basically you're texting your own personal driver. And that was very taboo to the taxi industry for a long time.
Which is what I think is part of their kind of contributing to their demise.
Yeah, there's many things that I could spend hours on this topic. But as
me too.
You know, the best example of what is hurt the taxi industry is I was downtown having lunch with someone near a hotel, and a family pulled up in a cab, and they rolled out of the cab, and it was a well-to-do family, and they were all coughing, kind of dusting themselves off, and the cab had reeked of smoke.
Yes. Oh, I know.
And that was their welcome to Chicago.
Right.
So, that kind of thing, the inability to take credit cards, et cetera. And the credit card thing isn't the cab driver's fault. A lot of times the companies had outrageous fees that they put on top of the drivers. So that's why your driver didn't want to take your credit card. Now with Square and Uber and Lyft, it's just so easy. But it's just so fascinating to me because when I created my app, some people would say to me, I don't know if I would share a cab with a stranger. Well, now they're literally getting into a stranger's car.
And sharing it with other strangers.
Strangers, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing, that's okay. There's strength in numbers. But, the funny thing was, you're told never get in the car with a stranger.
And that's all people are doing.
Sure enough. But it just shows you how desperate the situation was to give people better choices and faster service and cleaner vehicles.
Oh, I mean, the Uber and Lyft industry has changed the way people go out. I mean, everyone is in
part of the vernacular.
Oh, I'm just going to Uber home. I'm going to grab a Lyft. you know, no people, taxis are just not, and I'm so sorry, but I really do think that my dad would have changed with the times, because he hated the industry in Chicago, and the, you know, the licensing and all the restrictions and the fees made him crazy. But that means, but that's part of, it cracks me up. I don't know how much you follow Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, and the, and City Hall trying to put restrictions on Airbnb. Are you following that? Because what makes me laugh is that he's not quite doing the same with Uber, and we all know there's there might be other reasons for that.
It's an absolute. They're identical services. San Francisco cracked down pretty hard on Airbnb. Airbnb did resist, but they and for those of your listeners who don't know, Airbnb, Air Bed and Breakfast, it's a similar to Uber. It allows you to literally rent out rooms in your home to strangers. Again, very great safe.
I know it's maddening.
It's questionable, right? but nonetheless, this has taken off, and I just did this, and I had to go out to San Francisco, for a couple days. You know how expensive it is to stay at a hotel. Even we're a startup company, we're trying to save some money, and I can pay $500 a night for the Hyatt, or I can pay $120 at the Airbnb.
Right.
And so, but those guys have conformed a lot to the regulators in the cities. It was a little bit easier, I think, for them. The regulators in the taxi space have very little power, and the things were so imbalanced, and there were so many negatives about the taxi industry that now it's a big game of catch-up. And really the biggest hit to the taxi industry now is that the regulations, as you mentioned, affecting taxis are so unfair compared to Uber and Lyft drivers. In other words, have insurance for a taxi is between $7,000 and $10,000 a year per taxi, where there's nothing like, basically your Uber and Lyft drivers are still running around with their own personal insurance, which, is not nearly that much.
No, it should be the maximum insurance for Uber drivers, the best you can get for all kinds of coverage. But also the medallions. You know how much the medallions now cost to have it? Pardon me. I'm getting all choked up. When my dad was a cabbie, the medallions might have been $40,000. Is that right? And now they're like up to $400,000.
Well, on paper, that's the big problem right now. If you went to try to sell your medallion right now, I don't know what it would be. That's what the big, huge concern has been across the country with these medallion owners is, given the Uber and Lyft situation, what are those things actually worth right now? Because, if someone came to you right now and said, hey, I want you to invest in this taxi company with
me,
what would you say?
No.
Right? So the only good news is the regulators across the country are getting the idea, and they're starting to, relax the regulations a little bit. But again, it's hard to say what's right, because it's just as dangerous in an Uber vehicle as it can be in a taxi from both the passenger and the driver perspective.
Right.
And so you do want some safety there, and this is happening in other countries too, where they have to put panic buttons on Ubers in India. Because of assault on women there and, assault here. So at some point, I think it'll dial back around and you're going to see a lot of safety equipment, including cameras, voluntarily put into Uber vehicles. If you recall the Taco Bell executive who beat up his Uber driver in California a few months ago, that was an Uber driver with a GoPro camera that he spun around when he knew things were getting intense.
And there was another one, some rich kid in Michigan who verbally assaulted his driver and was like yelling at him. I mean, this is, as you mentioned, the situation you get into when you decide to enter in a relationship with a stranger, get into their car, go live in their home. There are squatters at Airbnbs, or there are I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, it's such a bizarre thing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And again, we're in this very unique time where, it is, as someone once said, this can be a very difficult country to live in if you don't succeed, so to speak. It's hard if you're not making a certain amount of money. And so one thing that's been helpful to your average American, if you will, are some of these things where Airbnb and Uber and there's a danger, of course, that they're cheaper, but what are they doing overall to the businesses that are employing lots of people, et cetera. So hopefully things will balance out from like a regulatory and governmental perspective. But it's just amazing. Our choices have grown. Things are getting a little dicier, but it is all the result of technology becoming more and more prevalent in our everyday lives.
Well, I love that you looked around and said there has to be a solution for this. And long before there was an app, you figured out a way to make it accessible to people, whether it's holding up, like you said, a coaster and going, are you going to the airport? Are you going downtown? I was just in Springfield and they had a farmer's market, and I thought I'll stop by. and there was something called a fashion truck. And there are these women who drive around central Illinois, and they basically bring a boutique to different cities, all in towns, all over the middle of rural Illinois. It's fantastic. Because they were like,
it's like what's old is new, right? It's like the Wells Fargo wagon coming down the street. I mean, it's amazing. But that sounds so familiar from like the old West.
It does. That's what I was thinking.
The wagon came into town.
Right, and brought your wares. I was thinking the exact same thing. I mean, even all the way back to Shakespeare, or when the traveling actors would come in and put on a show, I was like, this is fantastic. It's just kind of a pop-up.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's encouraging, because I think, there's certain things that you want to feel and touch before maybe you put them on and wear them. There's been a lot of success with Zappos, and there's a company called Stitch Fix that, send you clothes and all that stuff. But I think that it's very encouraging to hear that there's some, very entrepreneurial people out there doing that type of thing with a hands-on type of business.
I highly recommend, if anyone in central Illinois sees that fashion truck roll up, Dan, it's so cool. I mean, like, they have laminated floors. They have racks up and down the sides of the wall. There's actually enough room for a fitting room. They had jewelry and purses. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, that was like a fashion food truck.
It really was. Dan, Craig and I were talking during the news. We'd love to have you in studio sometime, if you would indulge
us. That'd be great. No, I love coming downtown anytime I get a chance.
Oh, we appreciate it. We've been talking to Dan Fedor, and your company again? Smarto?
Nauto.com. Nauto, like auto with an N in front of it, Nauto.com, if you'd like to learn more about us. We will have a consumer product probably sometime in late 2017, but keep your eye on social media, and I'll send Craig a link to our Facebook page.
To Nauto. Thank you so much, Dan Fedor, and we will see you soon in studio.
Thank you both. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Hey, Rob. I have a question before
yes.
I know that you're busy up there with news. I'm not a journalist. I think we can go ahead and say that as many times as anybody wants to.
No, but you ask good questions. You're very insightful.
Well, thank you. I just like having a conversation with people, and I try to listen. It's mostly what I do. But when I'm down at Springfield, I mostly am trying to observe and take it in. And, I do ask questions. I want to know what, makes a legislator arrive at their decision. But I realize I'm not a journalist. I'm not any of the newspaper writers that are going down there from the Springfield Journal, the Chicago Tribune, the Sun-Times. Channel 7 News was there, Channel 2. There are a lot of reporters were down there. And the area from which I had to broadcast last night was basically a break room. We don't have a bureau office down in Springfield. Only a few people do, really. There's the Chicago Tribune, NPR has one. But I got down to this break room, and I was looking for the Ethernet connection. And it happened to be in this folding table, Craig, in this corner. And some people had set up some things, and it was there all day. I went down there at 2 in the afternoon to do a practice test with the station. And they were like, there was a shoulder bag, and there were some different kinds of equipment. But it was still there at 11:30 when we tried starting the show. I mean, at 10:30 when I wanted to gear up. And it turns out, Rob, it was the equipment for Charles Thomas, who is the political reporter for
ABC.
ABC News.
Right.
And yeah, this dude, zero cares given that there was a radio show going on right next to him. I mean, so loud. It was a moment when I was talking to Lou Lang. Apparently, people were trying to let him know that I was doing a broadcast. And he goes, for right. what? And someone said, for WGN Radio. And he shrugged and continued to bellow into the phone, angry about someone not being
wow.
at the... Oh, it was so distracting. And Adam said it was okay, but I was doing this. I was cupping. When Lou Lang was talking, Leader Lou was talking, I had to cup the microphone to buffer the noise. But this guy, zero cares given that there was anybody else with a job. And he asked me at one point, he goes, can't they give you a closet or something? And
how nice.
I was like, this is the only Ethernet connection that's right. available to me. I was, zero cares given right back.
I can only go off my own experience. And when I started covering sports in Montreal, I realized quickly that there is a pecking order.
Yes.
And if you don't abide by that, they will let you know right away.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what pecking order exists in the basement of the State House. But clearly there is one.
Right.
And we, I mean, look, Charles Thomas, maybe he was having a bad night. He's very good at what he does.
Yes.
He's been at ABC for a long time. So maybe he was having a bad day. And then, of course, you know, as we know, when things go wrong in this business, we can get a little testy. And,
but, they were editing. They were editing the segments right next to me with, like, the speaker on. Like, not even – I have to think that there was ability to put headphones on to edit that stuff. And it was on full blast. And I was I can't – by the way, I was there last year every week for 7 weeks. I never saw any of these people covering the story at all. So I'm just – and I want to know if they're going to be there next week and the week after because, you know what? I'm making my own pecking order.
Yeah, I think people see it sometimes, you know, when they do kind of a large media shot of some, you know, huge, you know, the press coverage of something that big that's going on.
Yes.
But I don't think a lot of times people realize when there's that type of thing going on, how close we are to one another.
Oh, yeah. They were right on top of me.
Right.
Craig, because the cord would only go to right here.
Okay.
So that he refused to move over. Like he was already mad that I had moved his bag.
And I can't believe this.
He was taking like four seats like wrapped around. It was so funny to me.
Nobody puts Pretty Late in a closet. Yeah. You need a t-shirt.
He said, why don't you go in a closet?
No. Nobody puts Pretty Late in a closet. Like, nobody.
Because there's no Ethernet connection in there.
Bring it,
just
Charlie
make sure
T.
to bring some headphones for him next time.
Yeah, here
you go. Here, buddy.
Here, why don't you go ahead and listen to your report on this thing.
I can't wait. Cool.
This is,
that's a rough one.
Yeah, that was three, like for about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. You heard him. I had to stop and talk to the guy who was like basically about to unplug the show.
I could hear him we were talking about that on air. We were talking about it off air. We could definitely hear them for a
good while.
You
know, you should have done like a Howard Stern at that point and actually just gotten up out of your chair and gone over. And now we'd like to bring in ABC7's Charles Thomas.
Oh.
Charles, what did you feel about today's session and the fact that, of course, now we're going to be entering a second year without a state budget? Your thoughts.
And follow-up question, Charles, why are you so angry right now?
Nah, I wouldn't have gone that. I wouldn't have gone that because then that's really tweaking him. I would have just done, you know.
I would have asked him what he thought, how it compared to last year's deadline, which I don't remember him being at last year. I'm just saying, because I was actually there when they adjourned.
You know, one thing that always bugged me were the columnists, because they would sit in press conferences, either sports or news.
Right.
Not utter a word.
Right.
They wouldn't expose themselves. They wouldn't ask questions. They wouldn't put themselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would go back into the sanctity of, you know, wherever they do their writing and just spout off.
Yeah.
You know, and criticize and ridicule. Now, that's their job. But if you're going to do it, you know, at least you have some skin in the game.
I agree. And I mean, I asked the questions on the air. I was at a press conference, one with Michael Madigan last year and one with Governor Rauner. That's daunting. You and I've talked about this. I heard that you have to ask the loudest and the longest. Like, you better have a lot of breath to make sure that you're the one that gets answered.
Yeah, unless it's in a formal setting, in like a press room.
Right.
If you're in a scrum, you better get it in there, and you better be loud, like you said. And generally, 2 to 3 kind of questions in the same sentence usually works the best.
I don't want to be in a scrum. It's scary.
It's nerve-wracking. Heart races.
There's no gear.
The pulse quickens. Sweaty palms. People are looking at you.
So, yes, that's all. It's a lot of intimidation going on.
Yeah.
So I think I handled it well. I did not confront him last night, but I am talking about him on the air. So I think I handled that as well as I possibly could. I handled it in the Patty Vasquez way.
And invite him on the show.
Yeah, that's, sure. Hey, Charles Thomas, we'd love to have you Pretty Late. I know it's just radio and all. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And Craig is in the producer's booth. And I just told him I had something else I wanted to tell him.
Yep, you got super excited.
I did get a little excited. Well, I'm not excited. I'm a little bit, I got set on edge a little. As I mentioned earlier, I had a bizarre situation with political reporter for ABC News, Charles Thomas. And I forgot that when I rolled into Springfield with a fan van, Esmeralda, you got to come ride in the fan van sometime.
Is there more than one seat?
Yes. There are 2 seats.
Oh.
And that's it. The rest is all gear in the back.
You would not want to ride.
In the back.
No.
There's tubs and ladders and tables.
That's okay. I'm used to riding in my dad's van that was the same thing but on carpets.
Oh.
Because he'd had a roll of carpets everywhere. So we would just...
Oh, so it wasn't laid out carpet. You sat
carpet
in a
installer.
Roll of
no,
carpet.
Yeah. Rolled carpets. It's quite comfy.
Got weird there. Craig was imagining like a lava lamp.
Yeah, I didn't know it was
No, there was like not wall-to-wall shag carpeting.
Gotcha.
Now rolled carpets.
Okay.
Yeah. We are, by the way, we are planning, if they will allow us, if it's not too late, we would like to do the Evanston 4th of July parade. The fan van shall roll again. And we need more marchers, though. I don't know if they allow candy at the Evanston Parade. I think we need Frisbees, Craig. We were talking about getting maybe Frisbees, pretty late Frisbees. They glow in the dark, right?
Okay, that sounds like a bad idea.
No, that sounds like a great idea. Let's not discourage Frisbees.
Weapons? Just get,
what
just,
about those ones that are like really flimsy, but they fly well, but they like bend? They're bendy? You know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? It's not like a plastic Frisbee. It's more like a bendy Frisbee thingy. Because those wouldn't hurt if you threw those at people.
312-981-7200.
What's Craig talking about?
No, what would you like to receive at a parade? What's your favorite? Like, is it a beer cozy? I had nail files 1 year.
Beer cozies are good.
Beer cozies.
Those are soft.
Yeah. Would you like a Frisbee? So we're going to figure this out. We're going to get, this sounds like a business expense that I will see if WGN will shoulder or I will possibly.
We'll figure that out.
What would you like? I mean, like, we can't go. I would love to do hats, but we can't do like 2,000 hats.
No, that's a lot of hats.
It's a lot of hats.
Right. Would we have to get like the shooter thing for them too? Like if we did t-shirts or something? Could we have one of those?
Awesome.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Okay, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just got to borrow one from like the Bulls or somebody.
Yeah, somebody. So the 4th of July parade in Evanston. Hopefully we'll be there with the fan van. So I rolled into Springfield with the fan van. There was another WGN personality who had the equipment for me to broadcast with. Rick Pearson was broadcasting the Sunday Spin. And so he still had the Comrex with him. So we went to a great pizza place. Gravitino's? Is that correct? I probably should look that up, but it was outstanding. If you're going to have pizza in Springfield, only go to this place. I want to say it was Gravitino's. G-R-A-B-I-T-I-N-O's. That seems like the proper spelling. So he had a couple of people he knew at the bar. You know, I rolled up and we were going to share a pizza and I was going to have a glass of wine, just relax a little bit.
Gabatino's.
That's the one. I've heard it both ways.
300 East Laurel.
That's the one on Laurel.
Springfield, Illinois.
Huge parking lot. Oh my God, it was so good. You know, I don't like to eat a lot of meat, but they had this meat pizza that was so good.
Pizza sounds great.
Extra garlic.
Sure.
And you know what he got on the side? Anchovies.
That's disgusting.
Oh my God, it was amazing. So it was
why would you get a side of anchovies?
Oh, he had a plate of anchovies.
Did you have to like fork them onto the pizza? That sounds terrible.
Yes.
You found your twin.
I did a little. Well, and not just me, but somebody else at the bar actually ordered like an anchovy pizza down the way. It was great.
Tell me neither of you just ate an anchovy out of the side dish.
I did a little bit.
You're all BFFs now, right?
It was great. So I was chilling with Rick Pearson at the bar. And I don't know what we're talking about, but I had my nails done on, I don't even know what day anymore, maybe Sunday. And I have one of those nail polishes that changes colors, Esmeralda. And in the bottle, it was purple. And they said it would change colors to blue when it got cold or something. Well, when she's painting it on, it actually ended up being very, very, very blue, like a turquoise blue. And then on Monday, I had decided I was just going to braid my hair because I was it was running out the door and I was in a hurry. We had the Memorial Day parade. I was going to go to a barbecue and I was driving to Springfield, threw on a dress and a little jean vest and some sandals with like some stones on it. So we're sitting there and he looks and he goes, turquoise? What are you, like Pocahontas or something? And because my nails are very blue and I was really confused and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he goes, you know, the braids. I'm not a fan. It's like, I didn't understand. I'm just having pizza, dude.
Yeah. Just eating some anchovies over here.
I go, okay.
Okay.
You're not wearing them, so it's fine.
I was just looking at him. He's like, I just don't know. And like, I don't know why, because if you don't like something about someone, do you have to say it? Is that necessary?
That is called what I learned this weekend.
Yes.
Lack of tact. Lack of tact.
And I love, you know, I think because Rick Pearson is doing like all his political coverage and he can't tell the politicians of their face what he thinks about them because he needs them to keep having the conversation. He chose me to like, you know, there's nothing else he could pick on. He's like, I gotta say something to someone. Someone's getting a piece of this. And it was my braids. And what bothered me was like, I don't wake up in the morning and go, what is Rick Pearson going to like when I leave
Yeah, not one of your first questions?
It's never even occurred to me. Or what anybody else thinks. To do my hair the way I like it to look without putting it up or anything takes me a good hour. I have to put it in rollers first, and then I have to take each section and blow dry it straight, then hot roller, and also flat iron. And even then, which I did yesterday, if there's any moisture in the air, done. Have you ever seen Monica on Friends?
Yes, of course.
Where do they go? The tropical island. They go somewhere on vacation.
They went for somebody's wedding or vacation.
Yeah,
or something.
And she, that's me.
Just blew up
that's
the whole
me. Time. So that's why you see
you
the
You know,
braids.
We have friends at Fantasy Costume, Chicago Costume. We could probably get the whole Pocahontas outfit for you if you want it, though.
Okay. Lisa, what nail polish did you get?
Chicago.
Oh, hold on. Sorry.
Patty?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I feel like you're living my life. I just got my nails done last week.
Where did you go?
It's the place, California Nails. It's in Niles on Milwaukee.
Okay.
So it's the note chip. So I pick it out. It's this really dark purple.
Yes.
It's putting it on. And I said...
I didn't touch anything, Lisa. Lisa, call us back. I want to know about her
There's
nail.
Ghosts. There's ghosts.
There
everywhere.
Are ghosts. Everything They're is beat stuff. Is the wrong thing. I'm sorry about the spots. Lisa, call it. There she is. She's calling from the 224. Esmeralda, it was very strange. And the manicurist was very sweet. And I just rolled with it. Oh, hold on. It cracked me up because, I mean, it's a big deal when you commit, Lisa, to a no chip, you're all in or all out. So you just,
oh, right. Absolutely.
Right.
So I said, it's blue. And the woman speaks very broken English, Vietnamese. And she said, oh, it turned.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I'm like, okay. So she puts it in. I think I put it in under the light and it's going to be purple.
Right.
I pull it out. I'm like, it's still blue. Yeah, it turned. So I come out. So at the end, I'm like, my nails are blue. This is purple. Why are my nails blue? She gets me a glass of ice cold water.
Yep.
She's like, here, stick in. So now I'm walking around. I had my oldest son's graduation from Maine South.
Oh, Lisa.
My youngest son's graduation from middle school in Park Ridge. And I'm walking around with this crazy turquoise blue nail polish on, and I'm 50 years old.
It is a little dramatic. I'll be honest. Here, Lisa, here's what I did because I didn't like the blue. I upped the crazy on it, okay? Because I didn't want, because now you got to start all over again. I didn't have time. So I had her put glitter on top of it so it could look super turquoise and blue and sparkly. It's super crazy, okay. Lisa. Yes.
Which is crazy, except tomorrow morning, this morning at 6 a.m., I'm leaving to take the oldest one to the University of Iowa for his freshman orientation with turquoise blue nails.
I know. And the thing is, by the way, have you ever taken off no chip on your own?
Oh, God, I'm afraid to. I mean, they file it off. They drill it off.
No, Lisa, okay, listen. And you can Google this. I did it last week on my own, and I didn't get the edges, but it worked out pretty well. But you have to, you just do it the same way they do. You take a cotton ball and put a nail polish remover on it and then wrap your finger in tin foil, and you have to leave it on there for like 10.
You need to get the 100%
acetate.
Yeah, so, not just regular old nail polish remover.
Morning, I am going to be going to the Walgreens in Milwaukee and Nagel to find this because I'm going to be up now all night to get this.
And it's 100%.
It's 100%.
It's 100%. Don't get just nail polish because it's pretty strong. Like when you,
because
I use it all the time to get glitter off and it dries out your nail like crazy.
Oh, and then afterwards, this is what I did, Esmeralda. I'm glad you mentioned that. I soaked my fingertips in olive oil.
Because that's a good idea.
Yes. So I did that as well. And it gets the last of it off. And to scrape it off, because you'll just loosen it, I used a spoon to because they do, they file it off. I used a spoon to scrape it off.
I am going to be driving to Iowa City with toothpicks in my eyes, ladies. I swear to God. And then you're talking about your hair for an hour. Yesterday at my son's graduation, total frizz out because it would have been pouring in the humidity. And there was no flat iron or Moroccan oil that would hold this stuff down.
Yep.
Oh, girl, Lisa, it's hard for me to contain my frizzing, too. I get you.
So there you go, Rick Pearson. That's why I'm rocking the Pocahontas. All right?
Guys, I love you.
I love you, Lisa. All right, Lisa, hold on the line. Craig's going to get your information. We'll give you a gift card from After Electronics since you're going to be up late tonight. At least you can think about doing some shopping with our friend Steve Shapiro.
You're so sweet. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. Have a good night. And a safe drive to Iowa, okay?
Katie, really quick.
Yes.
Oh, you there?
Yes.
Oh, you know, back in March, I had called in, and it was the night before I was going in for surgery.
Oh, yeah, with Dr. Dingman.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I remember.
So, went very well. Just wanted to let you know.
Oh,
well.
I'm so glad. And by the way, I believe Dr. Dingman is starting a series of live shows in the very near future. I feel like I'm sensing this.
I was going to say, are you sensing it? Should I play my music?
I'm sensing that we're going to have a series of live shows with Dr. Dingman at Stage 773, perhaps.
Oh, it sounds like something I need to be at.
Oh, you have to be there. We will make sure that happens.
All right, thank you,
Lisa. Be safe. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.